Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. Welcome to another episode of Techotastic. Trying to get over a bit of a food poisoning I had at a local restaurant. I had a burger, and it really messed me up for a couple days. But thankfully, I'm feeling a lot better. And on this episode of Techotastic, we're going to talk about aiming for the moon and shooting for the stars. What I mean by that is all the technology surrounding planetary travel. Before we jump into that, let's go ahead and revive our segments on Techotastic. I know we kind of didn't do them for a couple episodes, but I will continue to do them because I like doing them. It's not like I'm getting sponsored or anything. These are just me looking out for consumers of tech. So let's jump into our first segment. That's Tech Bargains of the Week. Our first bargain, we got a Samsung 4K TV. It's a 55-inch, definitely a decent size nowadays. And that's coming in at $888. 4K TVs are just going to become crazy inexpensive by 2016 Christmas, so this is a good deal though. $888 for a 55-inch, and it's 4K, made by Samsung. Amazing. The colors on Samsung have always been incredible. I've owned a few Samsung TVs, no 4K models, but that is a great price. Okay, our next tech bargain of the week is going to be a laptop. It's the Lenovo IdeaPad. Comes with a i7 quad-core Skylake processor, 1080p screen, 14-inch. What's nice on this, has a 2GB AMD dedicated graphics card, and comes with 8GB of RAM. I'm sure you can upgrade it, so that's amazing, and it has a 1TB hard drive. That's going to set you back $630, not bad. You get that straight off of Lenovo's website, actually. But all these articles and all these tech bargains I post on the Facebook page of ETAcast. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. Hit that like button and you can find the tech bargains. You can find the articles I'm talking about. And all the new content gets posted on there, aggregated. So you can get the Trust Me, I Have a Beard. I'm going to start doing the Did You Beat It gaming episodic podcast again, and of course Techotastic is on there. Alright, our last tech bargains of the week is going to be a Cooler Master mid-tower case. This one caught my eye because it's $40 and it's a very nice case. It looks like it has 5 fans on it, medium-sized fans. It's not like gamer style. It's definitely a little low key, and it's a medium tower, so it's not going to be crazy bulky. $40, not bad at all. Let's segue on over to our tech articles of the week. And there's a lot to talk about, but I kind of definitely wanted to open the tech articles with Pokemon Go. This is a new phone app game. It's an augmented reality game that uses your camera, and the idea is you walk around in your vicinity, you know, your town, or maybe you travel or whatever. Yeah, and you walk around your town and go to the different buildings around. Let's say you're in Washington, D.C., for instance, the White House is a Poké Gym, and you can claim the gems and find different Pokémons, and, you know, go to the beach and you'll find water Pokémon. But really what caught my eye, and in a big bad way, this is causing a lot of controversy, because people are using it for ill means, of course. There's been a couple instances where people are luring people to an area because you can sort of blanket an area with Pokemon lore, which will make a bunch of rare Pokemon come by. So inadvertently, there'll be just random people walking in that area, and then boom, you can just rob them. So there's been a lot of cases in Massachusetts, and I believe in Georgia. I would definitely post a article about that, and a couple of cases actually where, you know, people were going to a river and they found a dead body. It's a very interesting concept, that game. I mean, it's super simplistic. As a 26-year-old man, I've of course played Pokemon Blue all day, Blastoise all day, alright? And, you know, did my fair share of leveling my Pokemon up. I just, I could see the craze in the game, I really can. But also, it could be so much better, of course, like with anything nowadays. But it's really cool that people just, like, wander around, like, for instance, on my social media, the people that I know, Sean Lopez, what's up, man? Catching those Pokemon, man. They're just, they're going out to the beach and having a great old time catching Pokemon and meeting different people, you know, maybe having a bonfire at the end of the night. It's really cool because it's getting people outside and not necessarily, it's not a dating app, it's just a meeting app. Hey, what's up? And people that play Pokemon, generally cool people. If you can name all 151 original Pokemon, you're cool in my book. Okay, our next article is something a little morbid, and it's something that happened in this in the United States. Another tragedy, another, you know, bullshit, guns firing all over the place, fucking Wild West style, but modern age style, really. In Dallas, I believe, on the 6th, there was a couple snipers that were targeting police after a Black Lives Matter protest was ending. And I'm not going to go into the whole spiel and what's going on with that, but what was really interesting that caught my eye, why I want to talk about this on Techotastic, is they cornered a suspect in a parking garage, and we're talking with him for a couple hours and, you know, negotiating and trying to figure out what's his aggressive motive, why is he doing this. And anyways, the negotiations fell through, and they exchanged some gunfire. The police realized the best option would be to send in a robot, you know, control a little RC robot with a bomb on its extending arm, and they would detonate the bomb as soon as they felt like the blast would kill the suspect, in which they did. And so that really caught my eye. It kind of brings me back to the episode that I talked about robots. Let me see which one. I don't know. There's one episode I talk about robots on Techotastic, and it, you know, how the police said it is, this was the best way to get our police officers out of danger. You know, send in a robot, control the robot with an Xbox 360 controller, and fucking blow up a bomb on his ass. And people are really questioning the ethics involved in this, which is like, I'm like, fucking why? If this is inadvertently going to happen, folks, don't think that the police are not going to have drones with a fucking 9mm gun on it. Of course they're going to have that. That's a no fucking brainer. This is just the way lethal tactics are going to be used, because we have crazy people with a fucking sniper rifle up on a parking garage cornering himself and saying there's bombs everywhere and this, that, and the other. And it's the best plan of action is to use a piece of technology in lieu of a human being. And in case people were wondering what kind of explosive it was a C4. And they literally just explained it like, you know, just a regular robot that they had. It's a surveillance robot, you know. And then on its extending arm, sort of diffusing arm, whatever they want to do with it, put a camera on it, they put a C4 charge on it. And of course they wired it up to able to detonate at will. And it's really cool. I applaud that tactics. I mean, that's what things need to come down to, for one, because it cuts human error out and it cuts human bias out, human prejudice out. I wouldn't mind having robots just looking at everyone down and with their fucking massive sniper rifles and checking everyone out. We already have CCTV cameras everywhere in Europe, and that's going to happen in America pretty soon. There's cameras all over the place in New York and whatnot. So why not take it to the next level and just have the safety blanket of a robot and its precision and its unbiased, unprejudiced? Because right now I think we definitely need that in this country. It's insane with all this bullshit race war is going on right now. I can't believe it feels like we're back in the civil rights era, and it's sad. I'm disgraced by it. Okay, a little bit more uplifting news. And our last tech article of the week sort of segues into our topic for Techotastic. And here's the headline: astronomers have detected clouds of water outside our solar system. It really caught my eye. This is incredible stuff. This was just posted today. I am recording this on the 10th of July. So let's jump into the article. So astronomers say they have detected clouds of water outside our solar system, and it's the first of any kind. And the remarkable find was 7.2 light years away from Earth on a brown dwarf, a type of low mass star. It's called Y0855, if any astronomers are listening. It's also described as the coldest known object outside of our solar system. And it's strikingly similar to Jupiter as well, that they're saying. So a Jupiter-like mass with clouds that contain water inside of it. To see exactly what type of moisture it is. Its extremely low temperature makes it the first object after Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn likely to host water clouds in its visible atmosphere, researchers stated in their report that was published in the Astrophysical Journal letters back in May. So the article that I'll post has a follow-through link. You can do your own little research on it. It's really crazy stuff. So, and it looks like, okay, they say our spectrum shows that Y0855 is dominated by water vapor and clouds, with an overall appearance that is strikingly similar to Jupiter. So they're just seeing just shit tons of clouds, I guess. They did get a picture of of its infrared spectrum, which is going to help them out to decipher the different layers and light in which that mass has. So once again, I'll post all these articles up on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ETAcast. Thank you for hitting that like button. Love you for that. And like I said, this kind of segues into our next topic, and that's planetary travel. That's going to a different planet. That's exploring different worlds out there. And the last time human beings have really done this would be the Mars rovers, but more importantly, the exploration, the need to figure out exactly what's on there. Let's send a human being over there. Was in 1969 when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. And since then, I believe we went to the moon 7 times with the different Apollo missions. No, I'm not going to go into the whole history on the moon landings, and I'm sure there's some people listening that just doesn't believe in it. But I definitely do. Let's talk about, though, the next step to where we're launching humans right off of Earth and having no problem. I don't mean no problem, but having the technology and the how-to to jump to a different planet that we can see. You know, for instance, the the brown dwarf that we were just talking about. I'm not saying that we'll land directly on that, but 7.2 light years away, that's really fucking far. That'll, in layman's terms, it'll take 7.2 years if you're traveling at light speed to get there. Now, light speed is astronomically fast. It's a, you know, it's as fast as you see whenever you flick on a light and you see that light turn on. That's as fast as it is. It's faster than a blink of an eye. So, needless to say, in order to get anywhere far in our universe and even our galaxy, we're going to need to come up with a way to travel faster than light. Now, we have developed extremely fast spacecrafts, like, for instance, the Voyager 1 and the Voyager 2, I believe travel at like 52,000, they travel like a mile a second. So, it's incredibly daunting to think, wow, that's not even good enough, because to give you a perspective, if a human being was on that Voyager, and the Voyager just passed the outskirts of our solar system, just past Pluto, just took pictures of Pluto, I believe, last year, and they launched the Voyagers in the 70s. So, that'll give you an idea of how long that shit takes. So we're going to need something that's going to be faster than light. Way faster than the Voyagers, way faster than Ferraris and fucking Bugatti Veyrons and, you know, all of our jet planes and F-22s and shit. That's when the warp drive comes in. Now bear with me here, a lot of the stuff from here on out is going to be very science fiction stuff. And it's ironic and a little bit funny that a lot of the science fiction shows and movies like Star Trek and Star Wars and shit, and games even, you know, EVE Online, all these different books, I can name tons of fucking books, but all these different fiction, fake things, has actually spawned ideas in scientists' mind on like, hey, we can actually probably do something like that. And so the warp drive is a faster than light, which is FTL, abbreviated, spacecraft propulsion system. This is most notably the Star Trek, you know, when the stars sort of like trail and they just shoot off into space. I believe they call that the jump drive or hyperdrive or something like that. But that's the general idea, is you're going to cover a lot of ground all in one go. And it's actually called the slingshot effect. So the slingshot effect has been explored in theoretical physics, of course, with the slingshot, you know. Or the slingshot around the event horizon of a black hole. These sort of fast velocities all in one, you know, you're sort of building it up, pulling it back, and letting it go. And that first 5 feet of the slingshot, shit, that will hurt someone, right? Now let's talk about the real world theories of this warp drive, this faster than light FTL concept, you know, technology. It was actually 1994 formulated by a physicist named Miguel, I'm gonna butcher his last name, Alcambier. Miguel Alcambier in 1994, and he had a concept called the Alcambier Drive. But the calculations that his model required, he needed so much negative energy or dark matter or this very exotic stuff that scientists don't really know anything about. And of course, when you look at that, you're like, well, we can't make that. That doesn't work. But it's interesting that he actually, this Alcambier drive was consistent with the Einstein's equations of general relativity, So things actually fit in place. There was math involved, everything was proven. But the only thing, the limitation would be the dark matter and how big this thing would be. Which brings me into 2012, where NASA researcher Harold White hypothesized that changing the shape of the warp drive of this, Alcubierre's drive that he concepts would require much less negative mass. It would require much less of this exotic energy. And it would require more of the ranges of the mass of the Voyager 1 to the mass of the observable universe. So this thing was, it's just sort of out there. It's a big variable that Harold White hypothesized. So he sort of thought, well, maybe we'll make it huge, mega fucking huge, and we won't need so much of this exotic materials and energy. But that's about it as far as the warp drive goes on real world theories. But it's not to say that people aren't researching this right now. Of course, NASA's budget got axed big time by President Obama, so they have to rely on a lot of private funding and their own funding, and just dedicated the scientists at this point to develop these new technologies. Let's jump into another way that we can probably cross light years away, no problem, hey. This one, we can easily cross billions of light years and just shoot off into the other side of the universe, and you're probably already answering or knowing what I'm going to say. It's the wormhole. So the wormhole is going to be a space in which you travel into it and it bends together. So point A and point B, if we're looking at it from a straight line, bends together, and you just cross it like that. You go straight from point A directly to point B with nothing in between. And of course, there's nothing to prove that these actually exist or they work or we can travel through them. It's just a big theory in which, you know, black holes might be around and why they're there. Hey, but I've already said it plenty of times. NASA, if you want to send someone through a black hole, right here. You can hit me up, my personal Twitter, at xbarmatic, and say, let's go, Chris. Come on down to Florida. We're sending you to the black hole. And I'll be there, man. Alright. So the wormhole is definitely a more hypothetical thing because we have no idea what happens when you even get close to a black hole, or when you even get close to even any sort of energy like this. We've only been taking super high resolution photos of it, zoom, 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 zoom. Nothing has been next to such a high energy mass that human beings has made, except for obviously planets and whatnot. You know, bear with me here. I'm talking about pulsars and black holes and fucking supernovas and this, that, and the other. And so let's talk about something that's way out there, far from a wormhole. Let's talk about maybe we find alien technology, Mass Effect style, and that leaps our civilization into the next century. These sort of things are all possible. We just have to keep exploring, keep wondering what's out there. Because if we keep looking up and going, nah, that we all lose interest as a society. And what I'm saying is, we all have to look up and point exactly at a star and be like, what is over there? And I remember looking up at the sky as a kid at the farm. I grew up on a 20-acre farm in Florida, and I was sitting out there. It was either my brother or one of my uncles, and he pointed up and he said, Chris, that's Mars. And it was red, shining up there. And I was just thinking, what the fuck? That's another planet with its own surface you can walk around on. And at this point in time, as far as I know, there's nothing on it. But what could be there? You know, I always explored the farm, the 20 acres of it, every single corner and feet possible, just to figure out exactly what was in every inch of the farm. And when we look back and we, you know, bring up the speeches of great leaders like John F. Kennedy that pushed that upon people, it says, you know, before this decade is done, we're going to go to the moon. We're going straight to the moon. And that instilled society to aim for the moon, shoot for the stars. But for some reason now, we're content of watching movies and not really getting behind certain things. However, there's a lot of really good private industries like SpaceX and mining companies that are starting to talk about mining asteroids. It's going to force society to rethink what's up there. Everyone in society. And so I encourage everyone tonight to look up and see what you find and kind of question yourself, how would you get there? Would you go there? And what's there? Well, I want to thank everyone for listening and tuning in to this episode of Techotastic. And I want to thank the new followers I grabbed on Twitter, the podcast community guys. And I want to thank my new followers on Twitter, the AM Podcast Network, which is a podcast directory in South Korea. Hey, thanks, guys. Also, mobile indie game developer, Wanard. That's at Wanard. And at Harbor's Music. Really cool stuff. I like his music. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Be sure to spread the word on all of ETAcast content. Trust Me, I Have a Beard, Techotastic, Did You Beat It podcast, and I hope to be making another podcast with my roommate, Becca. She was a guest host on Trust Me, I Have a Beard. The episode is called... I believe it's called The Full Circle. Thank you again, everyone, and remember to hit that like button on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ETAcast. And remember, everyone, have a fucking techotastic day. Chris signing off. Cheers. Gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon. Pokemon, yeah.